Giants, Parker Burgess, on a night where his team falls 4-3 in extra time to visiting Tri-City Americans. And Parker, obviously a disappointing finish to this one, but I thought your guys' resiliency, certainly through most of that third period, was something to be commended.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're frustrated with the results, the end results. You know, the game was in our grasp, and you have an opportunity to win a D-zone face-off and execute, and we all know hockey's a game of inches, and, you know, at the end of the day, we weren't able to get the job done and missed an assignment, let a puck through, and unfortunately didn't get that extra point. But, you know, going down 2-1 and then fighting back and tying it up and taking the lead put ourselves in a good spot, but we got to be able to finish. You know, that extra point's a big one, and it's back to work on Monday.
How gassed were the guys?
Yeah, I mean, they were tired, but so was Tri-City.
Yeah, like, both of them.
You know, you're playing your seventh, eighth, and ninth period in 4 days, and with a little bit of the weather yesterday, we ended up getting in at like 4:15 in the morning, so it's a little bit of a different day of sleeping and things like that. You saw it a little bit, you know, early in the third, late in the second, we started to labor a little bit, but we continued to fight, and like I said, we put ourselves in a spot to win the hockey game. We just weren't able to push it across the finish line.
Listening to the highlight call on that play of the game that we just heard, it's tough on a night like this where, you know, the ending is so disappointing because it almost wipes away so many solid performances. Like hearing Oreskovic's name get called on that highlight, I thought he was wonderful this evening, but it feels so far of mind now that the game is in the rear view.
Yeah, those are the overtimes are tough because you know in a 3-on-3 it's you lose a faceoff and one shot, so it's tough to look at it from the perspective of, hey, we got a point, we fought hard to get a well deserved point, but that extra point by not finishing off the job, obviously it makes it feel you know, it's a loss and it's a lot more disappointing. So
it did seem like you guys were able to kind of take it to a next gear in the midpoint of that third period to take the lead. Was it just a matter of knowing that you have a couple days off here, pour it all on, leave it all on the ice?
I think the game kind of, if you look at it, it kind of went in ebbs and flows. I thought the first period, both teams were kind of feeling each other out. They both looked a little, you know, maybe not as energetic or didn't have as much in the tank. And then I thought up until we gave up that first goal, you know, I thought we really controlled the play, especially in the offensive zone early in the second period. And, you know, those are opportunities too, where if you can get a second and make the game 2-0, maybe it's a different outcome. But they scored, and then I thought it energized them, and it gave them a lot of momentum. And then I thought, you know, for the last 7-8 minutes, they put the pressure on us. And then third period, I thought the first 10 minutes was kind of just back and forth. Nobody really controlled the play. They got the one we weren't able to get out of our zone, and they smacked one home in the crease. But then that kind of re-energized our group, and we were able to find, you know, I thought the last 10 or 11 minutes we really pushed. But, you know, we have an opportunity there at the end to close the game out, and you got to be able to do those things.
I know nobody's probably going to be more bitterly disappointed after this one than Burke Hood likely is, but with the shot volume that he faced tonight and the outings that he's had of late, is this still a positive step forward for where his game has been at?
Yeah, I mean, we all know Burke's a terrific goalie. The way Tri-City plays, a lot of pucks go to the net. A lot of pucks from the corner go to the net. They throw a lot of pucks out there. So I think there was a heavy workload. I didn't think there was a ton of high danger chances, but it was, you know, probably a physically taxing game just because of the, you know, that's their game plan. It's get it low to high, funnel it to the net, win a race, chuck it in front. And so it puts some strain on him. But I thought he did a good job, and he made some big saves for us tonight.
Boy, I thought the Tri-City 2-1 goal, he was terrific on that. He challenged twice. He challenged the play at the top of the paint. He challenged it with a second shot, and it was unfortunate that I think it was Martinson ended up getting that puck and had nothing but net to jam it into. But I thought it was a terrific comeback by him. And not surprised, to your point, this kid's a good goaltender.
Yeah, and he's a competitor. He wants to win. He cares about his teammates. And, you know, I think he would be honest in saying, like, he's still got another level to get to. And, you know, in my experience in these situations, a kid gets drafted, and, you know, the expectations from himself are elevated, from everybody else are elevated. But he's, you know, he's still just in his second year here in the Western Hockey League, so he's finding his way as a starting goalie, and he works hard every day in practice, and I think we all believe he can get to another level, and he's going to find it here soon.
In this kind of game, with the travel that you talked about for both teams, it was tied after two periods of play. Would you have taken a 20-minute game to decide if you had that opportunity?
For sure. And that was kind of the message, you know, going into the third period. It's a 0-0 hockey game, and whoever wins a period is going to get the 2 points and win the hockey game. And both teams are going to be off tomorrow, so you got to empty the tank. And, you know, we had the lead there, and then unfortunately they tied it up, and they got the one in extra time.
And how important was it for Olsen to get his first goal in 10 games? And I think Sparks, he gets his first goal in 10 games to get back on the score sheet.
Yeah, I think that's huge for both those guys. Both 17-year-olds, they're in elevated roles than, you know, where they were last year. And so they put pressure on themselves to contribute, especially offensively. And, you know, it's just one of those things, too. Like for Brett, with his size and, you know, his style of play, it's, you know, like when we were young and you were in a bit of a slump, your dad would tell you just go to the net and good things happen. And that's what he did. And then it was nice to see Tyus finish one off. And hopefully they can use that momentum to string some games along here.
Are you encouraged by what you're seeing from that younger crop of forwards, whether it's Tyus Sparks or Brett Olsen or Oreskovic, the confidence that they're growing at this stage of the season?
Yeah, they're all growing, and obviously we want the results to follow, but we see these guys every day. We saw where they were at, you know, Sparksy and Chorney and all those guys, and they're making strides, and so they're not only a big part of our team now, but they're going to be a big part of our future. So they're growing every day.
You know, Coach, seeing that Howell and Lynn pairing, there was one time out there the puck was dumped into Lynn's corner. He was closest to it, and I could hear Howell through my headset say, "I'll get it." And I thought that was pretty important, pretty impressive that he would say, "I'll go in there."
Yeah.
So you don't have to. I think they team up together better and more as the season goes along. They're finding each other, using each other properly, and you got to be very happy with that pairing.
Yeah, they've done a really good job. They both bring different elements, and they have good communication on and off the ice. And, you know, I think their game is just going to continue to grow.
You know, in Oreskovic, there was one shift out there, Coach, in the offensive zone. He engaged in three battle levels at three different spots on the ice. That's got to be impressive, too. He's a pretty big kid, pretty solid forward.
Yeah, and, you know, I've been really encouraged with him over the past few weeks. He's really upped his compete level. I think he's finding his identity as a young player. And, you know, I think he's been one of our more consistent forwards here over the past few games.
Last one from me. Next game is a weekday contest south of the border. You guys head to Wenatchee. What do you expect from the Wild on Wednesday?
I mean, they're going to be good at home. It's our first time seeing them. It's my first time seeing them. And so we'll dig into more film here tomorrow and Monday. And, you know, I know it's not an easy place to play, so we're going to have to be ready to go off the jump.
Well, you know what? Every team can beat any team on any given night, but the Wenatchee Wild are the lowest scoring team in the Western Hockey League. I don't know if that means anything. I mean, drop the puckets doesn't really mean much, but that's what you look for. But this is a team here tonight, Tri-City Americans, that are the second lowest scoring team in the league. Their last five games have been one-goal games. I expected that. I think everybody expects that when they play the Tri-City Americans. So all the best in Wenatchee, and then you're back at Penticton Friday, right?
Correct, yeah. We got a couple days on the road, and then we'll see you guys on Saturday.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All the best.